and man became a living being. I get so excited. So before, and then eventually calls him Adam and all the rest we get to know. But here's the one thing. From then until Eve was made, what was Adam's relationship like with Father God? I don't know about you. I would have liked that same relationship because they walked and they talked in the garden. And there was, and I think most of you probably know it, I plan not to sing it. And it's this one here. I come to the garden alone. I come to the garden alone. While the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet the birds hush their singing. And the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. He walks with me and talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. The joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I don't know about you, but that's the one thing I want to be able to do, is to walk and talk with my Father. To have an intimate relationship like Adam did, so that I can pass that on to my kids. So when Eve was made and they came together and all the rest, we know the story of the fall. Things were taking place. Adam lost something that was so precious to him. He lost that close bonded relationship with God the Father and what he had. And when he lost that, what was the first thing that came into his life? Fear. Fear came into him. Fear, the enemy, spoke to them, Adam and Eve, and when they did the things that they shouldn't have done, the first thing that happened is a broken relationship, and with the broken relationship, a fear came into them. That fear caused Adam and Eve to hide. As a father, I don't want to hide. I don't want to have fear. I want to be able to be a man who has integrity, transparency, and openness so that my kids and people around me can see the authenticity of who Jesus Christ is in my life. When we start to have different things, when we start to hear the enemy speak to us, it causes us to lose our connection with Father God. As you go through all the different people and everything, you could see what's taking place. We could go right through the Bible type idea. I'm not going to. But one of the other people that really comes to mind is Noah. So if you have your Bibles, Genesis chapter 6. Just over a page if you've, and everything. And it's just before the flood and everything. Verse 5, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of thought of his heart was only evil at the time, the Lord grieved that he had made man on the earth. So the Lord said, I will wipe them out. Down in verse 8, though, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Here's the first time that we hear about Noah, and what is it? He has found favor in the eyes of God. Why? I think he was like an Adam. He had a close, intimate relationship with him. So close that he found favor in God's eyes. You know, I've heard it said, and I claim it today, and you guys can all claim, I'm the favorite of God. I'm his favorite. You guys could probably say the same thing. I'm his favorite too. You know, we're all his favorites. Each one of us are favorites in God's eyes. And we need to remember that. Put your name in that place. Not read it as Noah, but read it as yourself. But Roy found favor in the eyes of God, even in amongst this wicked world. We are living in a wicked world today. You know what was interesting? Kathy and I were reading something. I can't remember what it was, but anyhow, I said, look at this. The Communist Party wants to meet with the people of the Chinese in the underground because they know the underground church is growing so vast and big. But I have found out as well from some people that the Communist Party in China, a lot of their government officials are actually Christians. And there are a number of those leaders, even though they're standing as, you know, in positions of power, they're Christians. And Dr. Cheon, was it last year, I believe, was asked to come and speak about business within the community, and he was allowed to bring the Word of God along with it. And so the door is opening. But what about our nation? Is the door opening the same way? On Facebook, someone posted two things. One was Denzel Washington. And the people asked him not to speak about God and Jesus. What did he do at this graduation? He spoke about God and Jesus. Why? It's because that was the number one thing for Denzel Washington to get him through that kept him humble to the point of knowing who he was as a leader within the community and as a father. Stephen Curry for the Golden State Warriors basketball team. He was just, after Golden State won, he was given the MVP for the NBA championship. And they told him, don't talk about Jesus or God. The very first things that came out of his mouth were about Jesus and God. And there's a man, these two men are fathers, they're leaders within their area, but they stood up for who they were and who they believed they were within their walk with Christ. And there's other people within the whole situation. Another one is Mark Wahlberg. He's in church every day praying before he goes to do work. What does that tell us about our communities, about specific people? They're lining up with the truth. So, about Noah. He found favor in the eyes of God. And then it goes on to this. This is the account of Noah. Verse 9. Noah was a righteous man. Wow. What is righteous? People who stand up for what is right. They know between good and evil. They know what's right and wrong. And they don't compromise their life for anything. Here is a righteous man. I'm not going to do anything. I mean, Noah could have got all caught up with everything that was happening within, that was taking place during that evil time before God wiped him out, and he wouldn't have found favor. But he stood as a righteous man. He was blameless. Can people come up and say, you're blameless? Can you look inside yourself and say, I'm blameless? And so when we look at ourselves, we have to look deeply inside of us to see if we're righteous and we're blameless. So here's Noah, righteous and blameless, among the people of his time. And he walked with God. Wow. He walked. He walked with God. I don't know about you, but I think walking with God, I bet he was walking in the garden, walking and talking with God, hearing what God had to say to him, and him wrestling with God over different issues of life. They talked together. They were friends. They were intimate. They had a relationship that was beyond, he had a relation that was beyond all measure. And verse 10, Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And as we go down through the whole story of Noah, we could read through that his sons did not depart from his side. Why? Why didn't Shem, Ham, and Japheth walk away from their dad thinking, we're going to build this huge monstrosity of a boat, and we're going to put every kind of creature into it? Dad? Do you have any screws loose? You know, they could have been starting to think about their dad. Why? What's going on? I don't think that happened. You know why? Because I believe, now this is just me believing, I believe Shem, Ham, and Japheth saw their dad on his knees praying, talking with God about everything. They learned to respect their dad in everything that he did. And I also believe that Noah had a personal close relationship with each of his kids. And they knew how much he loved them. And they stayed with him through it all. And that's another thing as a father. What is our relationship like with our kids? Do we tell them how much we love them? Do we come alongside them when they're hurting? Do we help them up and hold them up in prayer? What is our relationship like with them? A number of years ago, Kathy and I were in Alberta, I was working on my master's degree because that was part of the job description I had to do to be the counselor of the school, is to go get my master's degree in counseling. When I did my counseling degree, you have to be a counselee to learn how to be a counselor so that you can deal with your own issues. So I dealt with some of my issues, and the one issue that came up was, I picture it and all the rest, and I thought, oh, wow. And it was an issue towards my dad. So I forgave my dad and all the rest of the things. And then when Kathy and I got down to Bethel in 2010, one of our classmates comes running in this one day just as school's about to start. He said, "I had the most exciting thing happen in my life." He says, "Oh, tell us, what happened?" And Caleb told us, "I just had a sozo." "A what?" "A sozo." "Tell me what that is." "It's an inner healing thing. I heard from Father God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit speak to me." And he went on and on and on. And Kathy and I sat there and says, "I want one of them." And so we had to ask our revival group pastor, and he booked us into this whole scenario. And about a little over a month later, Kathy and I both had our sozo coming up. Well, in my sozo, the person that was leading said, "Do you need to ask Father God this question?" Okay? He said, "Father God, do I need to forgive my dad for anything?" You know, I thought I already dealt with it all. Bam, that same scenario picture popped into my head, the same one. But this time, it was totally different. It was taking from a whole different avenue of having Father God in the picture and Holy Spirit and Jesus leading me through to forgive my dad. More healing took place, a different kind of healing. It was a deeper healing, but it didn't come from here. It came from here. And I worked with the core problems that were dealing with it. But partway in the sozo, now both my parents had been passed away 6 months before this, but these were still issues inside. Jesus took me to Father God. And I had this vision taking place within my head. And while I was there, Father God invited me to sit on his lap. And I sat on his lap. He didn't even, the person leading says, "Well, ask Father God to pick you up." He says, "I don't have to. I'm already in his lap. I'm already sitting there." And the thing is, I was a bubbly, gooey, snotty mess by this time with him, because I never had that same type of relationship I had with my earthly dad. I never sat on his lap. I never had his arms put around me. I never heard the words like every person in this room would want to hear. "I love you. I'm proud of you. Well done." And that was the first. That was the first day that I ever felt the Father's love that way. And Father God is so real, became so real to me. And I'd been a Christian for 35 years by this time. But I've never felt the Father's love like I did that moment. And you know, the Father's love from the Father in heaven overpowers everything that our fathers here on earth do. But I'm not saying anything go against earthly dads. They love us the best they can, the best way they can do it. They give us provision. They protect us when they can. But I think the number one thing that every one of us probably would want to hear is we want to hear those words from our earthly dad. "I love you. I'm well pleased of you. you've done a good job. You know, and I didn't hear those words from my dad, but I heard them from my earth, from my heavenly Father. And that just changed everything inside of me. And you know, men, I'm just not going to say men, but this is Father's Day, but men, do you speak into your kids' lives the words that they need to hear to build them up, to encourage them, to set them straight on the path that you, that they need to go? Moms, you're the comforters. You're the encouragers in many different things. And you come alongside. You act sort of like Holy Spirit at times. You come alongside them in different ways. Fathers, story goes, Donna Da Silva oversees all of SOZO down in California. She said, what's it like when a mom says, well, oh, you look really nice in that dress to your daughter. You look really beautiful, nice and everything. But when dad sees her and he sort of, wow, what happens to the daughter? That's exactly right, validation. What happens when the son plays football and he's out there, he's doing all the great things and all the rest, and mom's yelling, good job, Johnny, yeah, you're doing a great job. And then dad yells it out, good job, John. Oh, the peacock just got full. I mean, the pride and everything else just comes up. Dad noticed everything. Whoa. Do you know? A father's word is powerful. And as dads, we need to do the same thing, is to speak into our kids. We need to speak into our wives as a father. We need to come alongside. You know, and I'm going to finish off in this note. And it's found in Ephesians chapter 5. I don't know where your divide is in chapter 5. But in chapter 5, partway down, there's a divide that says something about wives and husbands. But you know, if you go up a verse just before the divide, and I believe it's verse 21, you know, and they're going through in chapter 4 into 5, they're saying living as children of light, and this is how you should be, don't live this way, and all the negatives and positives. And then it says in verse 21, it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another. Do you know, as a husband, I know that then if you read through the rest of chapter 5, it says, wives, submit to your husbands, la da 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 da. But you know what? When you get to the next one, we're supposed to submit to both, back and forth to each other. How do we submit to each other? Well, the wife's supposed to submit this way. But in verse 25, what's the key word there? Husbands, love. How do we love? The way Christ loves us. To give ourselves to our families, to our kids. We need to love. You go into chapter 6 and it talks about fathers, do not exasperate your kids. What is the other thing? Fathers, love your kids. Love them. We're supposed to be, fathers, we're supposed to be love bombs. We're supposed to give love to our kids, loves to our wives, love those around us. We're supposed to be encouragers, helpers. coming alongside people and helping them in situations. What does it say? All of a sudden, my mind just went blank on the thought that I was going to say. God is love? No, God is good. All the time. All the time, God is good. Well, you know what? God is good. Change that word. God is love. God is love. That's how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to love people. As a father, I have to take responsibility how to lead my family. But I need to know how to love them. And as a father, I need to take responsibility to love them. I need to take responsibility to provide for them. I need to take responsibility to protect them. And I need to take responsibility to speak into their lives the destiny of where they need to go. That's what a father's job is. From my eyes, at least. And that is the inheritance we pass on to our kids and unto our grandkids and down the line. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, you're the God of love, that you've provided love into our lives so that we can give it to others. And thank you for being in total control of us, showing us how to do the things you want us to do. To be a father, to be righteous and blameless as Noah. To walk and to talk with you. I want to come to the garden with you, Father, and to hear your voice as you speak to me, so that I am in total relationship with you. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.